This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today, we're talking to Listen to Your Heart Season 1 winner, Christopher Watson. We'll talk to Chris about how Guitar Hero started his music career, how applying to The Voice helped his experience on Listen to Your Heart, and whether or not him and Bree are still talking. But first, me and Eric have big news. We both got vaccinated, about 10 days ago? About nine days ago, right?
Yeah, last Tuesday.
Yeah, last Tuesday. So about 9 days ago, we got the Johnson & Johnson shot. So one and done, which I'm pumped about because I would hate to have that second shot.
Same. Yeah. I'd rather get it all done at once. Get the double dose, which knocked me on my ass.
Yeah, I'll say, Eric, you had pretty good side effects, didn't you? Or bad, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been so happy with knowing my body is fighting in my life.
Very true.
It's working. Yeah, I'm very nauseous, fever spiked, headaches, body aches, chills, everything for 24 hours. And then the next day,
you're fine.
The second day, like nothing happened.
Yeah. That's crazy because I had zero. And people say, now who knows, you know, when I say they say, but they say that if you've had COVID, the side effects are a little worse from the vaccine. And you think you've had it right back in March? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know I had it, but then I took an antibody test and I had antibodies. So I had it at some point in time.
So you had it, yeah. And so I didn't. And I think that's why maybe the vaccine, the side effects weren't as bad for me. But
Yeah, I think my body just recognized like, oh, shit, I know what this is. We're fighting.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I was one of the lucky ones I got. I thought for sure I'd had it, dude. Like, how have I not? But I still could have, I guess, just not very bad. But
yeah. Well, I mean, you're a specimen.
But I've heard
I'm
like
just a normal guy. Like,
but we've talked about how like fucking world class athletes are getting kicked, you know, their ass kicked by this thing. So
yeah,
but it's a good thing that we did get vaccinated because
we are back on the road again.
Back on the road, DJing this weekend. We're gonna be out in Nashville for all our Nashville listeners.
Yeah, if anyone is in Nashville, we are at Dirty Little Secret Friday night.
Yep, at the Dream Hotel
with DJ Silver.
It's going to be a night. There's quite a few Bachelor people coming.
There is a long list of special guests.
There's double figure Bachelor people coming. So we'll have a lot to talk about next week because I'm meeting we're meeting basically like 7 people who we've never met before in Imagination. So we'll have a lot to talk about
next
week.
Three or four of us scumbags who know each other pretty well. So.
Yeah. Well, very well. A lot of us know each other very well, unfortunately. But it's going to be a fun weekend. Looking forward to it. So if you guys are in Nashville, come out to Dirty Little Secrets Friday night at the Dream Hotel. It's going to be a fun night. So hopefully I'll see you guys there.
I love that B-O-O-Z-Y. Said I love booty.
Here's our chat with Christopher Watson, Behind the Rose.
I love that B-O-T-Z-Y.
Chris, thanks for coming on, man.
Dude, Blake, thanks for having me, man.
Dude, absolutely. Do you go by Chris or Christopher?
I go by Christopher when I'm performing. Everywhere else, like friends call me, Chris. Call me Chris. And then a lot of friends, once we get close enough, they call me Watson. So if y'all want to call me Watson, I'm good with that too.
I mean, I was pretty much, we learned that last night in Clubhouse.
Yeah, Watson, Eric was on Clubhouse like, with you last like
three,
night.
There's like three or four like Chris's in the speaker room, like on stage
and
all
nobody,
the time.
And honestly, that's how it happens all the time. Like that's really where Watson came about. Like one of my best friends is Chris, and his last name is Oxtel. And so he became Oxel, I became Watson, and nobody calls us Chris anymore. So
gotcha. Yeah. I actually usually call people by last names, to be honest, because the same reason. Yeah. So
yeah, I think just sports background sports too.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, man, I'm glad we had you on, because we've only had Rudy, right? Rudy's the only person from Listen to Your Heart that we've had on. So we've been wanting more on. So, man, I'm glad we got you. And you're the Listen to Your Heart, man. The winner, man.
Winner, man. I am the winner. Yeah. I won that thing. So
no, man, it was a lot of fun watching you, man. You crushed it. You were one of my favorites the whole way through. I had a feeling you were gonna get the dub, man.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate it. I can't lie. I can't say I had the same feeling, but you know, as it kept going, you're just like, oh, I'm still here, and there's people. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I bet it is. I mean, actually, we'll get into that. Let's catch up on kind of what you're doing now and everything. So you're in LA, right?
I'm in LA. I've been here for 5 years in August.
I was just gonna say, so you grew up in Florida, though, right?
Yeah,
Tampa,
yeah.
Tampa, right?
Yeah, Tampa, Florida. Okay. Super Bowl champion Bucks, gotta give a shout out. And so I grew up in Tampa, then I moved to Miami, went to college there, moved to New York, and then now LA. So, yeah.
Okay. So were most of your moves like.
Did you go to the U?
The U, bro. Come on.
The U.
Yeah.
That's great. So, first of all, were you down in Tampa for the Super Bowl then?
Dude, I left the week before. And honestly, I'm kind of glad I did, because I would have been too tempted to go out. And like, my grandma was home. She wasn't vaccinated yet.
Oh, yeah. Probably a good thing.
If I was there, I would have gotten COVID for the shit, man. I'm there, bro.
Well, I was there. And yeah, the streets were wild. Well, I actually didn't go downtown after the W, because I was like, dude, it's probably a total shit show down there. So I was like, I'm going to stay up. We were out of town a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It was COVID madness, man.
Yeah, people, man.
I mean, well, that's the thing. COVID happened in Florida for about 6 weeks, and then, you know, the governor said, forget it, let's make some money. So,
yeah. Yep. I mean, the Florida economy in Florida is doing well. Yeah. We'll just say that. So.
They have given zero fucks.
Yeah, it's wild.
And honestly, I mean, it's like kind of hard, because, like, yes, the pandemic's real. My mom's a physician, so she's in healthcare. At the same time, I'm like proud of Florida. I'm like, yo, we just kept 100. Like, we don't care, bro. Like, that's
mm-hmm. Absolutely, man. I know, man. And the numbers aren't that much different, to be completely honest. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's nuts. But anyway, going back to your moves and everything, did you move mostly for your music career? Was that kind of the goal?
Yeah. So when I was in New York, I was working at UNICEF for the UN. So it was full time in that, and then at night doing music. And I also had an open mic for like maybe like a year or so, like my last year in New York. And it was like from that open mic. And then I went on a little tour, and I'm like, yo, like, if I really want to do this, I got to go on the road. So I moved out to LA with my savings, and I was like, yo, I'm leaving New York. I'll be back in like 3-4 months. And then, you know, 3-4 months went by, and I sent all my money. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm sorry. Here. So kind of stuck it out, but yeah, the move to LA was to pursue music full time, and so yeah, it's been great.
Awesome dude, tell me about that job for UNICEF. What exactly did you do there?
It was intense, man. I was working on HR administration, so it was essentially a desk job, but the thing is, it's like I had duty stations all around the world, so like people would call UNICEF in New York, and they'd be like, oh, Chris at UNICEF in New York, like, you're like the official UNICEF representative for us. And I'm like, I'm new, I don't know what to do. And it was like such a great learning experience. I'm the kind of person, I don't know about y'all, but I do way better being thrown into the fire rather than getting like just lightly burned. I'm like, put me all the way in, I'm not gonna burn up. And so it was great, man. It was a lot of fun.
That's a pretty cool. I mean, that's gonna be a great experience. Looks good on a resume, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you what. I mean, I only applied for a handful of jobs after that, but everybody was like, UNICEF. Okay, we'll talk to you.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. No, absolutely, man. So you're in LA. I was actually just out there last weekend, but you guys are like still pretty closed down as far as like COVID and everything. Yeah.
Still pretty closed down. I mean, the thing about LA, there's a lot to do outdoors. I think what's hard about LA, it's a very event-based city. Like I would events like 3-4 times a week. Like that's just like, you know, so all of those still being shut down is pretty tough, but restaurants are starting to open back up. All the outdoor stuff is opening back up. Like I was just on the beach and they're having fire pits again, and like that's like one of the vibes to do out here. So
absolutely, man. How's quarantine been for you, man? Like, have you been, you know, making music? Have you been losing your mind? Like, how's it been for you?
It's been a little bit of everything. I mean, you know, my last year was one of the craziest years of my life for a lot of different reasons. And I think more than anything, like losing the rhythm of my job was pretty tough. You know, everybody was different. I mean, for me, I saw just literally my whole year of work dry up in a week. And so I was just like, all right, well, at least I have the show to bounce off. And, you know, luckily Bree and I, we had a lot of success and did a lot of good things, but it was definitely tough. I mean, it was really, really weird to get inspired when there was so much bad stuff happening, man. You know?
So true.
Yeah.
Never really looked at it like that. I always forget that Listen to Your Heart happened not that long ago. You know, like it feels like forever ago.
Beginning.
Yeah. Of the pandemic. Yeah. It was like airing right at the beginning of quarantine. That's right, man. It's crazy. It feels like so much has happened.
Oh my gosh, dude. And I think what was crazy, it's like everybody was still just figuring out like what are we supposed to do? I mean, like there was days we didn't go outside. I try to bike every day. I was like, I'm not going biking. I don't know if I'm gonna get the COVID, you know?
Dude, when it first happened, like I didn't leave my house for a good 5 weeks, man. I was just waiting right outside that door.
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, bro. Don't come find me. Try it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, man. So I want to get into like, you know, your music affluences, if you will, and stuff. So have you just always been musically inclined? Is that like something you've always wanted to do?
It's always been something I've done. It wasn't always something I wanted to do. I guess I was birthed into being an artist. I like we were saying, I went to school in Miami. So I basically grew up playing music my whole life, from drums and singing and all this other stuff, all in high school. Went to college and said, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to have fun. And the first semester of college, I made it through. But like,
that's all that matters.
And it was after that. And like, you know, it was just a matter of application. So I started to apply myself the second semester. And honestly, it was like through Rock Band, wasting time playing Rock Band. That I'm like, you can still do this. And like, you already know how to play the drums. Like, you already know how to play the piano. It's like, just start to put this together. So it was after my freshman year, I wrote my first song. And I dedicated my life to being a songwriter, and I haven't looked back since. So 19. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, there's that clickbait hit article right there. I mean, Chris, off of Guitar Hero, he starts his music career. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, EA Sports, come find me, man.
That's pretty cool, though, man. Because you have me and Eric were saying you have the voice of an angel. Like, when did you realize that you could sing, man? Like, at what moment?
The songbird of this generation.
It was singing old like gospel tunes with my mom in the car, and like my mom was always listening to music, and so I was in like a boys choir when I was young, like singing arias and like this like, you know, Italian opera type stuff, and I was just like, this is really fun and comes very easy to me, and I had a pretty good pitch, and so I was just like, for a while I kind of just like put singing on the back burner and like, let me get good at the rest of other types of music, because singing wasn't cool, and I just wasn't also super into it, but I'm like, I knew I could still do it. So
yeah,
as I become a full-time musician, it's like, oh, like this is the most important thing that people pay attention to, because they don't say, oh, you played great piano, or like, oh, your guitar was really cool, or like, oh, that song was awesome. They're like, your voice, it's just like, you know, so
it's so true though. That's so true.
Yeah. You want to pay attention to the rest of the stuff. Somebody pays attention to this and you're like, all right, let me focus on that.
Yeah. So you just talked about kind of, you know, gospel and everything. What would you consider your musical influence? Like, what kind of music did you listen to growing up? And, you know, that has like influenced how you make your music.
I mean, growing up, I'm Caribbean. So I listened to a lot of reggae and stuff like that. And a lot of oldies and a lot of Christian and gospel music. But I would really say the culmination of all of those things was really like when I discovered blues when I lived in New York. Like as a songwriter, and I was just like, yo, like, this is it. Like the way that people could tell a story and it's slick and it's always sad and it's always depressing, but it always lifts you up. I'm like, that's just like, that's the shit right there, dog. That's the magic in music. So it was definitely the blues, and I'm still a blues man to this day. So
yeah, that's a good way to describe the blues, to be honest, what you just said, because it's hard to describe the blues sometimes. So yeah. Man. Oh, and I feel like the blues in New York just hit different too. Yeah. Like I just feel like in the city like that. Oh yeah.
Because you could live it every single day. I mean, because New York, it's like, if you have an awesome day, bro, it's just going to go up. You're going to have 100 days, it's going to turn to 200% day. If it's barely bad, it's not going to get better. You might as well just go home, lock yourself inside. Like, it's not better, so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, man, I love New York. I haven't been to New York in a while. I bet you haven't either. Obviously, you've been out in LA and stuff. But I do miss New York, the energy of the city. It looks a little different right now. I know that. Like, it's kind of eerie right now, man. But.
Yeah, a lot of the energy has been sucked out. Honestly, it's a little depressing, but I always grew up going to New York, so it's always going to be a home for me. So.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So I want to get into kind of, you know, Listen to Your Heart and some other things. So we'll do that right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Actually, I don't know if many people know this, but Listen to Your Heart wasn't even your first reality TV show, was it? Because you did The Voice, right? Yeah.
I did do The Voice.
Yeah. As you're smiling.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it was wild, bro, because it's like I was fresh out of college and, you know, it kind of just happened on a whim. Like I had a friend who we used to like study together and he's like, yo, I'm at dinner with a producer in LA. Like, should I show him your music? I'm like, yeah, whatever. And so I like got booked the audition. I like emailed him back. He's like, and they're like, oh, this guy doesn't work here anymore. But since he already booked you an audition, blah, blah, blah. So long story short, went through the whole entire process, didn't get to audition for the judges, but the whole experience like was just very powerful, very moving. And like, you know, getting to meet, you know, I went to school for broadcast journalism. So I, you know, studied television. And so like getting to like literally shake hands with some of these executive producers and go in and like audition for them. And I'm like, man, like, I forget the name of the guy right now. It's Eric Burnett or something like that. It was like one of the EPs or something. And I'm like, man, like, he thinks I sound good. Like, okay, like, maybe we should stay pursuing this, you know? Yeah. At that point, it was only a year out of college. And so, like, you know, my family wasn't still, like, really all the way behind me. I was still super broke. Luckily, I had a girlfriend who liked me. So I was like, at least, like, I had a few
It's great.
So, yeah.
I bet that is kind of a cool feeling to get out there to like put yourself out there for those auditions and have people who know what they're talking about kind of say like, hey, you got something here. I got to be feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like even going back to saying like, I always put singing on the back burner. I had an aunt growing up and she loved watching those reality shows, all the singing shows. And I always, back when I wasn't singing, I was like, if I ever make it on American Idol, I'm at least going to make it to Hollywood. If I ever audition for one of these shows. And that's exactly what happened. Like
that's
my
wild.
Time to LA was all covered, all flown out, blah, 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 blah. And so I got exactly as far as I thought I would.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, everything happens for a reason. I'll tell you what. So do you think that experience through the application process helped you for Listen to Your Heart, kind of getting on that and going through that application process?
100%. 100%. I mean, going through, even though I didn't do like the whole cattle call with like, you know, hundreds, thousands of people, I did like a private audition, but still just like being in that environment where you're like, all right, let's showcase your stuff. And you know that you're one of hundreds of people that they see that day. It's still just like, kind of just like, I don't know. It helped me settle all my nerves and get rid of all those kinks, you know?
Yeah. So. I bet the nerves weren't as bad knowing that you kind of been through the process before and kind of performed like that in an audition setting like that. So
yeah.
That makes sense. Now, cool. So when you were on the show, like those first couple nights, was it just what, like, were you guys just like, what the fuck have I gotten myself into? Or like, was it more like pretty chill? Like you guys were all like, what was the vibe in the house?
No, it's the same vibe that anybody, I can't say other reality shows, but anybody who's been in Bachelor Nation, it's the same thing. You walk in there and it's an earthquake. And I was like, yo, y'all can't pour me a drink fast enough. Like I just need to sit on up and don't have to talk. It was definitely madness. Like, I mean, I think like the first day and a half, we were just like getting our bearings. Mm-hmm. That first night was, I have never ever experienced anything like that. I mean, like I definitely like, I, you know, like I sweat, you know, like most
dude,
people.
Same.
But, you know, that night, dude, I could not stop sweating. It was like right. And then luckily I stopped right before I met Chris, but I was just like, I'm wearing a gray shirt. I'm going national television, drenched in sweat. I'm like, bruh, like they did this. You
know? Yeah, these sons of bitches.
But oh, that's funny. It was all good. It all worked out. But yeah.
I always say when people ask me about that first night, the first night feels like a movie set. Like there's cameras everywhere. There's so many people, so many producers. Like it feels like a movie set. It's wild. It's a crazy experience that first time walking into the mansion. Because you guys weren't in our mansion. You guys were in a different spot. That's right.
Yeah, we were up in, I don't know if I could say where, but it was a valley to the left of the normal valleys.
Okay.
Valley.
I remember thinking you guys had a better place than us. Like I think I remember watching and being like, damn, your guys' place pretty dope.
It's really funny. So a handful of us, I guess, you know, we're all gigging musicians. Like I played a wedding there like a year before we shot there. another one of the guys, Trevor, he played a few shows there and like he knew the guy who like owned the spot. So like it was kind of crazy like how we were actually kind of familiar with the location a little bit.
That's really interesting.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous venue.
Yeah, it looked like it. I remember being like, what the fuck? Like, that's way nicer than what we get on the on the Bachelorette. I remember thinking that. So, man, walk me through kind of the moment when you and Bree, like, obviously kind of started talking, because I know what it's like. In that environment, I mean, not many people can relate, but, like, a lot of people, you know, in Bachelor Nation know what it's like in that environment. You kind of meet somebody, and you're like, there's cameras, and there's all of that. Like, when did you guys kind of click? Was it kind of early, or did it take some time?
No, it was early on. I mean, it's kind of funny, like, you know, we got to watch the show back together. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is, like when you meet a pretty girl and it's like you're just doing your best like to check her out without being like all the way obvious. Like on camera, it's like, what's up, Bree? Up and down. Nice to meet you. Yeah. It's like obvious as hell, like I'm checking you out.
So at what point did you swoop?
I swooped night two. Night two, I swooped. I remember that there was a conversation where I was between the two girls that I was going to go after. It was Bree and another girl. And they were like, one of the questions was like, oh, well, what are you going to do about it? And I'm like, well, I'm like looking at one. I'm like, well, you know, you got to make a decision. And also you got to go after what you want. And I'm like,
it was awkward, dude.
Awkward, man. I mean, that's the thing is like, we've been there where it's like, okay, like maybe I'm going to hit on more than one girl in a night, but like, to do
that's every weekend.
Well, I mean, pre-COVID.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, but I mean, I really think that the time when everything changed is we had our first date, and really like all the cameras melted away and it just like felt all the way real and everything was really real. And so I was really, really happy that we were able to experience that as well as just like, because it's hard. It's really difficult. It doesn't matter what your experience is with cameras, to be vulnerable in that way on camera, the most vulnerable position that I think anybody could be, like falling in love with somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that we had our date at, like, I'll plug it, Guitar Center. So
there you go. Guitar Center, hook your boys up. We can do an ad for you guys. Yeah, man. So something I can't relate to, obviously, because I'm not a musician, but what is it like writing music with somebody and playing music with somebody and like just vibing and like feeling it? Cause I know you guys had some mad chemistry when you guys were playing music and everything. So what is that feeling like?
It's honestly something that I haven't ever felt before. Mm-hmm. You know, the music industry and people got to keep up appearances. And so like literally 99.9% of the time working with females in music, I've always kept it professional, never crossed that boundary. And so to finally cross that boundary and you're singing a love song and you're like looking at somebody in the eye, it's like, it's honestly next level. I've never felt something like that. So it was really, really, really special. Really special.
That'd be like, that's so intimate. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so intimate to be like singing like that and looking in someone's eyes and then like feeling that. Like, it's gotta be special. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, it was scary, bro. It was really scary, but you just had to keep leaning in. And I mean, that's like, it's kind of like, yo, there's been so much that's brought me here. I just got to keep on leaning into this.
No, absolutely, man. I mean, I fall in love in that environment too. And it's like, it's fucking weird, man. And it's like a lot and it's powerful and it's a lot happens in that environment fast and everything. So, and I mean, like, you're right. It's scary. It's terrifying, man. It's terrifying. Really
terrifying. And then you're also just, you're not like worried about how you're going to, I don't know. I
know what you mean, though.
Worried about like how I'm going to look on camera and everything. I was just like, is this like what I really, really, really want? And I'm like, you know what? Like, I guess it is, you know, because like I'm already here and like dating in LA wasn't going great before. So it's like, you know, just keep on leaning in. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So.
Like, why not? I remember I kept saying myself that throughout the season, like, why not? Like, I'm here. Why not? Like, let's let down the walls. Let's be honest. Let's be open. Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely. So obviously you guys made it to the very end, the very, very end, but those last few performances, man, like there was a lot that was obviously like banking on those performances. Like those are pretty high pressure. Like you were playing in front of some big names there for a while, man. So yeah. What were the nerves like, you know, when you and Bree were up there playing in front of, like, I don't know, there's like Kesha, I think was who else? God, I can't think of all the people that were.
It's all good. I mean, we played in front of Jason Mraz. We played in front of Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Unbreak My Heart. Say you love me, and like, you know, like knowing those songs, and I'm like, I've learned that song for this guy. He wanted to propose to his girlfriend, and I like snuck in like the backyard of his house. And I'm like remembering that, and Toni Braxton's like complimenting me. I'm like, oh my god, like this is nuts. What's actually happening? At the same time, man, just lean back on your own experiences, man. Like, I've performed in a lot of different scenarios that have felt honestly higher pressure than that. So I work with kids. And so in a way, that kind of feels like a higher pressure, because like sometimes like you're with like someone's kid and you like pick them up and you're like have them on you, and like the parents like really happy and they're like also slightly nervous, but then like in time they just get like more and more excited and they're like, yeah, just take them, like whatever, you know. But to like build up that trust, I feel like that's a very, very, I don't know. I feel like that's in some ways even more nerve-wracking. So
That's interesting. Yeah, I love that you talk about like, you know, your experiences, and obviously you've been out there, you've played when you can play, wherever you can play. You know, you've done that, which is pretty cool. And obviously, I think that helped you throughout this experience for sure. I mean, you were just talking about how you play. You know, you were playing for somebody's proposal. Like that's pretty cool. You know, but I bet not many people can say that.
Yeah. I played a good handful of wedding proposals, good handful of random gigs, man.
So, yeah. Gotta do what you gotta do, man. Gotta put that foot on the table. I get it, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Do that freelance work.
Yeah, freelance work. Yeah, I hear you.
I've written written songs for people that are trying to propose to girlfriends or trying to get back with them. Like, it's wild, bro.
So what's your songwriting process like? Because like that's your thing. What is your process like when you write songs?
It's always different. It's always different. And honestly, I'm glad that it's always different because it just keeps it fun. Like sometimes you're just like, man, like that's a good sounding thing from a song that I like. Let me try to re-emulate that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're like, man, I just have this feeling about this and that. Like, let me just write out the entire song. Sometimes you're just like, all right, like, let's just riff and like find out what works, you know? So it's honestly different every time. I mean, I feel like, oh man, I don't know. I mean, whatever, we're going there. So like one of the songs, maybe Booty is a song that we're sharing. So like, I can tell y'all about that.
Tell us about that process.
So I used to live in New York City, as aforementioned. And so this is riding back on the subway one day. And you know this, like, we're guys, like, women are smarter than us. Like, that's what it is. Like, they just are. They know what they're doing a lot of the time. Like, they really do. So we're all riding back on the subway, just like me and just like, it was just a bunch of regular work guys, some guys in suits, construction, whatever. So this woman comes on and she has like, I can't believe I'm telling this shit. So she has her little brother with her. Uh-huh. And so she like gets on the thing and she's like on the pole. And like, you know, she like puts, you know, her booty like on the pole and like kind of like spins here, spins there, and like gets off in like three stops. And we all look at each other and just bust out laughing, yo. And like, it's like, yo, we know it's like we can't, like none of us said anything. Like we were all, but it was just like, we knew what she was doing. And I'm like, honestly, I said it to myself right then. I'm like, that's an ass attack. Like I was under attack. There was nothing I could do. And so honestly, that was kind of the start of the song. And then that's like, so for example, so that song I wrote in one clip. I just freestyled the entire thing. Like, of course, tweaked some of the lyrics there here and there, but really freestyled the whole thing. So.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's a funny story though, because I know what that's like. Like then all of a sudden she leaves and you kind of look at the other guys and you're like, Do you see what I see? We all
saw that, right?
Oh, that's pretty great, man. That's cool because we have a lot of musicians on here, and everybody kind of talks about how songwriting, it's different for everybody, you know? It's different for everybody, and that's pretty cool to hear your process. And when did you start songwriting? Like, was it super, super young? Like, when did you kind of pick that up?
I mean, I definitely concretely wrote my first song when I was 19 after college, or after my freshman year of college. I think the process kind of started like when I started to get more into the drums and I got into like rock and roll, and that just like kind of like changed my perspective. And like one day my aunt walked in, I was like playing Queens of the Stone Age, and she's like, "Chris, this music scares me." And I was like, "That's good. I'm onto something." So I would really honestly say it was like getting into rock and roll, Queens of the Stone Age, The Killers, and just like how songs can be very different than like what's like on your pop radio. I think what was crazy to me is I'll listen to an album and I'm like, if this is the single and this is the only song that's like quote unquote making the money, like why do they write the rest of these songs? And I was intrigued by that. So it was like Fall Out Boy, a lot of punk rock stuff, because like I already listened to hip hop and everything like that, and I loved all that. But it was just like knowing that there's so many different types to blend together. So
yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of music out there. That's for sure, man. So you and Bree, obviously, you win the. Listen to Your Heart. And I felt so bad for pretty much everybody on the show, but especially you two, because you guys were supposed to go on like a tour, right? Like that's how that was supposed to happen.
Yeah, we were supposed to go on a tour, and we had an album as well and a music video that we were supposed to do. But honestly, all we really wanted to do was tour because we're musicians, and like I'm a full-time musician out here. And so I perform normally between like 2 to 8 times a week, you know? At the same time, like you just kind of always held on to the silver lining, like in the pandemic. I'm like, I'm not sick. That's just kind of it. Bottom line, I'm not sick. I'm not dying. Like I still have enough food to eat. I'm not going to go hungry. So it kind of just starts and ends there, because if you start dwelling on it, then you're just going to get like, oh, damn it.
Dude, yeah. So, I hear you. That's a good way to look at it, man, because we felt the same way. Like we missed out, obviously everybody, you know, missed out on a lot of opportunities. But yeah, we're like, you know what? Well, I still have a good savings. I'm still making a little bit of money and I'm healthy. So like, can't complain too much.
And it's definitely the one industry that will rebound quickly.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
Everybody wants live music.
Everybody wants live music. And especially, you know, Los Angeles is an entertainment city. I mean, there's so many different ways and venues to play at, and it's definitely going to come back. I mean, I'm already starting to feel it a little bit. So
yeah, no, same here. Yeah, absolutely. So actually I'm trying to think here. So when the show finished airing, we were already in quarantine, but you and Bree were obviously together. Were you guys able to see each other, you know, when you were dating, like through quarantine? Like how did that work for you guys?
Yeah, we saw each other like 2 or 3 times, and then the lockdown hit. So I think we finished filming in like February, and then it was about a month later that the lockdown hit. So we saw each other like 2 or 3 times. And then, you know, everything happened. Like, we were just like, oh, are we still going to make this album? Like, are we going on tour? Like, what are we doing at all? And it just was the start of the long saga of the quarantine life, you know? It was difficult because essentially we were tasked to write an album about love and happiness. And it's just like the world is falling apart. It's like, how are you getting inspired when literally the city that you love, New York City, is just falling apart? So
that's so true, man. Such a good point. That was a difficult task, to say the least, for sure, man. So obviously you and Bree, you know, didn't work out. Are you guys still friends? Are you guys still, you know, amicable, if you will?
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I wish it was, but we have to respect everybody with decisions, and I thought it might be different. But it is what it is. I mean, we still talk a little bit here and there because we just still have a lot of stuff tied up with each other. At the same time, like it kind of is what it is, you know. Mm-hmm.
You gotta cut those. Yeah, I get that. It makes it a little easier at times when you don't talk, obviously, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think what's weird for me is like I'm the kind of person I don't like date a lot of people. And so I'm also like a professional people. I'm a professional musician, half of me. The other half is a professional people person. I can talk to anybody at any time, regardless of if we have beef, like, oh, we have to get through this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been difficult, but it's going all right.
It's not easy, but at least, I mean, let's just say you don't hate each other. We'll put that out there, right? Like, you, yeah, yeah. It ended well. Like, yeah,
there's no like actual bad blood.
Right.
No,
okay.
Not at all. Yeah. I still love her. You know, I mean, all love for her, and right. I want the world for her. So
yeah. No, that's good. That's always nice hearing. Honestly, sometimes in Bachelor Nation, that's not the case. So like, it's pretty cool to see mature grown adults, you know, like being able to like, you know, talk it through and like end amicably. So it's good to see. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So I want to get into kind of what you've been doing lately, what you got in the future, and everything. And we'll do that right after this. All right, man. So it's been, like you kind of said, Chris, it's been a big year for you, man. It's been a big year for you. Like, it's just like wild, man, because you were on Listen to Your Heart, COVID hit. You were in a relationship, you know, now you're out of a relationship. Things are starting to open back up. So what is on the docket for you right now, man? You got any music kind of even working plus, on stuff?
And then you have the tour coming on. And yeah, what will happen with that tour?
Yeah, have they mentioned anything to you about the tour?
No, I mean, what was so difficult about the tour is they were like, all right, like pick cities and venues and this and that. So we picked cities and we picked venues, and then venues started to close. And we're just like, you know, and I guess we kind of got to go to the demand. I mean, we'll see if we end up doing music together in the future, like in that capacity. I think I'd be open to it. I think she would be too. I think we just need some time to figure all that out. But I mean, a tour is definitely imminent. I mean, I have two projects that I'm working on right now and a couple singles as well. So I definitely want to get out there. I mean, I think Texas is kind of like the obvious destination because they're just wide open over there.
Just down there, yeah.
Yeah. We were just there in Austin.
We're in Austin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How was it?
Well, we were there during the fucking blizzard. We got stuck down there.
I mean, it was very open, and then it was completely shut down in 24 hours.
Like apocalyptic. Yeah. It was wild. Yeah.
So, that's literally the
dude, the one. Yeah. The biggest storm in a century down in Austin, Texas. We were there for it. It was wild. You're stuck there for 5 days.
Never thought you'd be pissed to be stranded in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. But we were. We were. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, tell me about Beauty of Love, because I know you're a very spiritual man and you were talking about this musical project for you. So what does that entail?
So Beauty of Love, essentially, it was born out of my church, Mosaic, in L.A. We went to a mission trip in Lebanon. And Lebanon is in the Middle East, and it is a Muslim country, but it's the most like progressive. They have a lot of Christians there and this and that. Long story short, we were ministering to a lot of people who weren't Christians. And so it was like, how do we communicate to them without like beating them over the head with Jesus? It's like not what we wanted to do. So it's just like lead with love, and we want to showcase like what the beauty of love is. So we wrote this song. And then I think my buddy and I, Jay, like we just kind of like sat on it for like a year, and then like just kind of popped back up. He's like, "Yo, you should make the song your own. Like, do the acoustic version." And then I kind of did that. And then I had a handful of other Christian songs, and I'm like, "Let me just put this all together." And like, so literally the project—they're all songs about love. Just like they say love in all of them, but they all sound very different. They all give something else, as well as like I, you know, I have a lot of different friends. So like I have like a handful of friends in LA that like aren't believers. They're like not even like Jesus like at all, you know. But I still show them the songs, and they're like, man, like it just speaks to me beyond anything like that. And so that's really all that I wanted to showcase with this. It's like it's just the beauty that love is, you know. So and as well as like cool. It's kind of like my path of how I've been able to find it in my life, you know?
No, man, that sounds awesome, man. We're definitely, everybody go check that out. When is that dropping and everything? When is that kind of going to be complete?
That's going to be out in June.
Okay, in June. Everybody go check that out in June. So how many is that? It's basically, it's an album, right? Is that what you would consider it? Yeah.
It's going to be an EP. It'll be 5 tracks.
Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, there's so many different ways about doing things in the music industry and blah, 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 and singles, this and that. I'm a kind of album project based person. So like, even though I'm going to have two singles from this, but it's going to drop like as a full EP.
Oh, so, cool. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. We'll keep our eye out for that for sure. And then you also have another one in the works, Tell 'Em Drive.
Tell 'Em Drive, man.
Yeah.
So what's like that kind of came about. So tell them is my motto, man. You got to tell them, bro. If you ain't telling them in life, and people are like, "Oh, what does it mean?" I'm like, just be about what you're about and don't hold back. If somebody has a problem with it, it's their problem. It's not yours as long as you're living your truth. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't live your truth, then guess what you're doing? You're selling yourself short. And if you sell yourself short, you're selling everyone that you meet. You're selling all of them short of like really experiencing you. So Tell 'Em Drive is about that. And it's got a couple fun songs. I have a song on there called Mostly True. which is about the first day I got to California, got caught smoking weed on the beach. And then like it just kind of goes on from there. I got a song about, you know, previous relationship, song about, you know, some times that you're just looking for good times. And it's just like, it might be a mistake, but it is what it is. And I'm happy I was there. So it's just like kind of a little collection of like songs that helped me find and live my truth, I guess you could say.
Ooh, okay, cool. And is that going to drop around the same time or?
Same time.
Cool.
So instead awesome. Of one album, it's just like dropping two projects. And it's just like kind of like, you know, the industry these days and everything is so immediate, like with the culture. It's kind of ridiculous for independent artists. Like, it's like, how do you compete with somebody who has an entire machine behind them? And you can't. It's just like mm-hmm. all you have to do is just be yourself and just wait for somebody to catch on, or, you know, keep on putting it out until people decide like, hey, like I definitely need to pay attention. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're right, man. Being an independent artist nowadays is super hard, but at the same time, there's a lot of different outlets, you know, there's a lot of different outlets. Social media is huge. And now you got a good following, man. And you got a lot of friends with good following. Hit me up when that drops. I'll blast that everywhere, man.
tell them, bro. I will. I definitely will, man.
Absolutely. No. Yeah, man, that's really cool. So you're basically dropping double album, baby. Double album dropping.
Double album. And I mean, I think what's really interesting about music is there's so many different ways to go about it. Like I've been doing some writing with Sync Licensing, and I have a song or two that are hopefully going to be on one of the Viacom networks. And I work with kids and I do kids music. And so I'm trying to work with Sync Licensing at that. And like, it's kind of hard, like trying to push, not like hard pushing my independent music, but like knowing, like I've been doing well as a full-time musician the last 2 or 3 years, and it hasn't been because of my independent music. So essentially it's like everything else, like kind of, I guess, like not like my independent music like takes like a back burner, but it's just like, hey, like that's like really like your passion project, and do everything else that's actually going to get you paid.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you know, like that's like why for a while, like I wasn't worried about like before the show and everything, like I wasn't worried about like social media and this or that, or like getting likes and stuff. Cause I'm like, at this point in time, I'm getting paid from all this other stuff. I'm not getting paid for my likes. You know what I'm saying? Like even I did a commercial with Jeep, and I'm like, I didn't get that commercial because I had a huge following. I didn't get that. I'm like, I got that commercial and did that commercial just because of like my talent, you know? Yeah. So it's like, just focus on your talent. It's also realizing that everybody's different. As soon as you like really realize that, then you're golden, you know, like you have your own path, make it happen, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I mean, I can't wait to see what you got, you know, in the future and everything, man, because you are, we talk, man, angel, voice of an angel, man. So we're excited to see what you got coming. But the big question, man. So first of all, right now, are you single? You're a single guy?
I still am single.
You are single. So you know what I'm going to ask next, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to ask you. Definitely know the follow-up here.
Will we be seeing you down on that beach?
I'll decline the answer at the moment.
Cool. We will see you down there.
I mean, that's the thing, man. I'm from Florida, bro. You know, I love the beach. So
There we go. No, man, me and Eric were talking before you got on. We were like, man, I think you'd crush down there. Honestly, man, you just start singing, man. And I'd swoon, man. I'd take you on a 101, man.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, what's funny? Like, you know,
fair,
you know,
really.
Listen to your art. I mean, listen to your heart. Like, you know, there's so many different ways to edit the show, and like there's so many different, like, you know, there's just so much going down. I felt like if I had another whack at it, it would be, I mean maybe it would be the same, like maybe I would win again, I don't know. It worked out the first time, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm intrigued. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, there you go. You're intrigued. I'll tell you what. I mean, all the other guys should be shaking in their boots, man. When you go down there and you fucking sing and man, I tell you what, man, I think you're going to be a commodity down there if you decide to go.
Because you're actually a guy with a talent. So
And you seem pretty cool, laid back, fun. Like you're not going to be in the drama. You're not going to be in any.
Yeah, and that's what's so funny about doing the show is like, I'm an anti-drama person, man. I've had so much like actual real life drama. So like when drama barely comes my way in real life, I'm like, I'm out immediately. Yeah. You know? We'll see.
We'll see. But I hope we do. I'll just say, I hope we do see you down there. Cause I think you'd make good TV and everything. I think the ladies would love you. So hopefully we'll see.
And before we get out of here, because I know Chris and I, we spend a lot of time on Clubhouse a couple of nights a week. We see each other in the same rooms and whatnot. Yes, when are you going to get on there with us, Blake?
I know. I need to, man. I've never been on it. Like, I don't, what is it even? Right? Like,
okay, let me just open forum.
It's basically a live podcast. But Eric, let me tell you. So Eric hopped in a room last night. Eric, do you want to know what time that room ended?
I was out at like 10:30, 10:45 my time.
Bro, I didn't get off that room till 3:30.
What?
That's crazy.
A.M.
That's like they did an open room for Connor the other night. He was on there for like 4.5 hours.
You literally just chat. Like you just fucking talk.
It's just so basically it's like you have the moderators and like you could have, you know, like we'll like whenever we have a welcome room for you, you know, we'll hop in and we'll just be there to support you. But as the room keeps on going, it just keeps on evolving. Like we were talking about social media, we talked about family, talked about parents at the end of the night, like we were just talking about music and just like sharing life and on. It just keeps on evolving.
I do have to ask you a follow-up question from last night though, because this was kind of weird. Okay. When that Chris guy from this past season.
Yeah.
Talked about like Bree slipping him his number at like a sushi restaurant.
Yeah,
it was like that was awkward.
Well, yeah, because
I was just like your response was like, "What do I really say to this shit?"
I think. Well, this is the way that I was able to like really rationalize it. I was, you know, luckily enough to go to Utah a few times when we were together, and. I will attest. He was like, "Oh, there's like 3 or 4 million people in Utah." Everywhere I went, not only because I was black, but it was also because I was on the show. Everybody knew who I was. So like, I see how it's just such a small place. Bree's a really pretty girl, and like, she's an awesome person. So I was like, I could see how if somebody's like, "Yo, like that looks like she's a catch." Like, let me leave her my number, this or that. So, and it's funny. I knew that. I know some of her history working at that restaurant too. So it's that also told me as well. So
that's great. Damn, I need to get on this fucking Clubhouse thing, man.
You'd have fun on it.
I would have too much. I'd be like him staying up till 4 in the morning chat. It's
Rendon comes on every night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there any monetary exchange going on here?
Not really.
No.
There isn't people who host rooms, you know, there is starting to get some of that because, you know, if they like, you know, have a room like 2 nights a week, I'm trying to start up a show or two, just to get back out there. I used to, you know, do radio in college, and so I'm just like itching just to like, just to have a forum to talk with people. So nothing like that yet, but I'm sure it's only on iOS, so it's only for Apple users. So I'm sure when they drop it on Android, there's going to be a whole another big blast and big surge. Yeah. Everything.
Okay.
I could definitely see it's going to be a pretty big networking forum.
I hear about it everywhere, man. It's honestly blowing up.
The thing about it is like we just kept going in on it last night. It's like it's cooler, honestly, I think, than any other social media platform out there.
Because you connect a lot. People.
I'll just tell you. I think. All right. This is where I'll get you and Blake. So. acting and all this stuff, bro, it's hard, you know, but there was like one day I was just like about to kill time and I'm like, oh, I saw a room with casting directors. I'm like, all right, let me just hop in there, hear what advice they're going to say. Cause I have all that. I have headshots, website, blah, blah, blah. Lakeith Sandfield and Tyrese Gibson are in there. And Lakeith is like, he was in, Judas and the Black Messiah. He was in ATL or Atlanta and like, obviously Tyrese Gibson, everything, blah, blah, blah. And he's just in there just dropping all these gems, just talking, just like making it happen. Like basically just telling you don't give up and saying like, yo, like, although you all think I'm up here, I'm still trying to do all these commercials. I'm mad that I don't have a commercial with this. I'm still doing all this stuff. And it's just like, when am I ever going to hear that from Tyrese Gibson?
Yeah.
Like there's no other forum unless I know somebody who can sit me down in his house. And it's just like, wow, this stuff happens every single day. Like even like right now, there was a room with Lupe Fiasco, and like I don't listen to him anymore. But like when I was growing up, like Lupe Fiasco was like one of my biggest.
Oh, I remember Lupe. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like last night, there I saw a room. Bieber was in there.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you'll see Zuckerberg. You'll see all these major CEOs too. Like, and they're just hosting like conversations. Like you, It's really cool.
Yeah. It's a really powerful tool to connect us all. I love how this has turned into a club.
Yeah,
it literally has. It's bizarre. Like, that's cool though. Because when Blake said you were going to come on, I was like, man, I'm in a room with this guy like one or two nights a week at least.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, and honestly, like some of the bachelor rooms are pretty fun, man. Like
they are.
Yeah, I've heard they're fun.
They really evolve from just like being so straight up, like, oh, let's get to the heart. Okay, what was kind of silly on the show? All right, all of a sudden it's raunchy and everybody's got their shirt off. Like, what the hell?
I was telling Blake too. I was like, I just popped in that room for a minute, and they were all having Blake's back from an incident with him.
Oh yeah,
Paradise.
That's what I like to hear, baby.
And I was like, damn, okay, everyone's loving Blake. I was like, I haven't heard this in a while.
Yeah. Like, fucking villain, you know?
He's not the villain.
So that's the question that I have for you then, Blake. So should I hit the beach or what? Or
you don't want me to answer that question? No, man, honestly, like I always say, man, because I obviously get asked that a lot from a lot of alumni. And man, I mean, I don't see why not. Like, go for it, man. It's high risk, but it's high reward, man. Like, yeah, your life can be fucking ruined, or you can, you know, kill it. Like, you know, it's high risk, high reward, man. So, I mean, anytime you go on national television, it is though, man. And when you give up all the power of editing and everything, like, it's all risk, you know? So you should. Yes, you should. You definitely should. I know some people where I'm like, no, you should not.
Oh, you should
definitely go. Yeah. Definitely go down, man. So.
Yeah.
Hey, the door still might be open. Blake still even might be there with you. You never know.
It would take, and there's, let's just put this out there right now. That article that was written the other day, I have not been contacted. Okay, guys. So like all these clickbait articles, cracks me up, man. Man, thanks for coming on. Where can people find you? Instagram, all that, Spotify, all that fun stuff.
Tellem Watson, TellemWatson. That's my Instagram, and on my Instagram I have my links, and all of my music is under Christopher Watson. If you guys want to listen to Chris and Bree, that album has over 3 million streams, which is sick. It's a hot album, man. You know what I'm saying? Just Chris and Bree. You can find that on all streaming platforms as well.
Awesome, man. Thanks for coming on. And I'll let you know next time I'm in LA, man. We'll grab drinks together for sure.
Dude, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I'm on the best side. So just let me know.
Cool. Absolutely, man. We'll do that. And then, keep us updated on when exactly that's dropping in June. And we're blasted all over, man. So excited for those three two projects. So go check out his two new projects coming out, Beauty of Love and Tell Him Drive, about June-ish. So.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose, or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.